其他的书信里，使徒保罗说过，教会是由许多肢体组成的一个身体，每一个肢体都属于其他肢体。那这个属于在这里属于其他肢体，就表示我们对彼此要负责任。
Now, church members belong to and are accountable to one another, or really, they belong to and they are accountable in three different senses.
教会的成员都彼此我们彼此属于我们彼此属于彼此，然后也要彼此有交代。
And I'll list the three at one time. So church members are accountable to their church. Church members are accountable to Christ, whom is the head of the church.
首先，教会成员要向主耶稣有交代。主耶稣他是教会的头。
They are accountable. They belong to and they are accountable to their church, whom Christ has authorized to give shape to the Christian life. That is, the church is responsible for making disciples of us.
教会成员要向他们所在的教会有交代，而教会是基督授予权柄来规范我们基督徒生命的，也是基督给予这个大使命来去造就门徒的。
And finally, we belong and are accountable to one another.
最后，教会成员也要向彼此有交代。
And I want to focus on this third aspect of belonging and accountability. And when I say that church members are accountable to each other, I mean that we are both responsible for and dependent upon one another. So that means that we are interdependent.
我今天想主要我今天主要想这个重点讲第三点，就是教会成员要彼此交代。那在这里面讲的教会成员彼此交代，我是指我们是互相依赖，也是彼此负责，我们是相互依存的。
So the health and the effectiveness of the body of Christ, the church, is largely dependent upon the health and the effectiveness of each of its members.
教会整体的健康和能够有效运作，非常取决于教会每一个成员的健康和效用。
Now, sure, the church is it is larger than any one member. There's no one church member is so important that the church can't get along without that person. But this is mostly true for the human body as well.
没错，教会肯定比每一个成员要大，没有说是哪一个成员重要到教会离了他就不能运转，这一点运用到我们的身体也是成立的。
So the health and the functionality of my hand is largely dependent upon the health and the functionality of my five fingers. Now, yes, I could still write without a thumb. I'd probably have to write like this. However, if I were to have to write like this instead of like this, my writing would be a lot less efficient in my writing, and my handwriting might even be illegible.
我的手能够有效的工作，很重要的取决于我的手指头。当然了，如果没有大拇指，我依然可以写字，只不过是写的会很慢，而且可能没有人能够看得懂我写的是什么。
Now, I definitely didn't need chopsticks, right?
但是没有大拇指，我肯定是不能用筷子吃饭了。
And I'm just joking because I'm not that good with eating chopsticks, even though I do have.
好吧，我刚才是开玩笑，虽然我有大拇指，但是我还是不太会用筷子。
But you get the point that hands work better with healthy thumbs, and churches are better with healthy members.
你们已经知道我想要说的是什么。当我有健康大拇指，我的手能够更灵活的工作。同样，教会每一个肢体都健康，教会每一个肢体都健康，教会才能更健康。
So we need all of us to be.Healthy and functional in order for the church as a whole to be healthy and functional.
所以我们每个人都要健康，充分发挥我们的能力，这样子我们的教会作为一个整体才能更健康，才能正常的运转。
And because God has knit us together in this way, because we're interdependent, this means that the actions and the behaviors of any one church member has an effect upon every other church member.
因为神把我们放在这样的一个群体里面，我们每一个人的发挥我们的供应都会影响到别人是否能够发挥他的潜能。
Yeah, so as the Apostle Paul says, he says that the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. We are all dependent upon one another.
就像保罗在他的书信里面说，眼不能对手说，我不需要你，头也不能对脚说，我不需要你，我们是彼此相互依赖的。
And this is the only context in which church discipline makes sense. Church members are, this context that I'm talking about is this one where church members are aware of how vital they are to the body. Otherwise, church discipline will just seem arbitrary at best, and it will seem mean at worst.
这也是教会纪律合理的唯一的背景或者上下文。教会的成员必须意识到他们对于教会这个身体是多么的重要。不然的话，教会纪律就会让人觉得很随意、很独断。这还是往好了说，如果往不好的说，就会让人觉得教会的纪律是很刻薄的。
Sorry, y'all. I forgot how to turn it on. So, meaningful membership is the only appropriate context for church discipline. But what exactly is church discipline? And I want to give you a helpful definition here in just a minute.
有意义的教会会友制是教会纪律合理的唯一上下文。那到底什么是教会纪律呢？这里有一条非常有帮助的定义。
So church discipline is divine authority that is delegated, to the church by Jesus Christ to maintain order through the correction of persistently sinning church members for the good of those caught in sin, for the purity of the church, and for the glory of God.
教会纪律是基督耶稣授予教会的神圣权柄，来更正持续犯罪的教会成员，以维持秩序。这样的更正是为了那些陷在罪中的成员的好处，也是为了教会的清洁以及神的荣耀。
So more simply, it's the process of warning and possibly even excluding someone from the life of the church who claims to be a Christian and yet refuses to live as a Christian is called to live.
或者简单的说，这是一个警告的过程，甚至会将声称为基督徒却拒绝活出基督徒生命的一些人赶逐出教会。
Now, church discipline, along with the preaching of God's word, especially the gospel, and the right administration of the sacraments, that's baptism and the Lord's Supper, these are important marks of a true church.
教会纪律正如传讲神的话语，特别是福音以及守圣餐，这里包括洗礼和主餐，这三样是一个真正的教会最重要的标志，最重要的标志。
Now the church is meant to be a place where truth and godliness are upheld, and where either of these things are missing in the life of a professing Christian, they should be warned and even urged to repent.
教会理应是以真理和敬虔被尊崇的地方。当一个声称为基督徒的人的生命中缺少这两者中任何一个，他应该被警告，并且被督促来悔改。
Now, however, wherever they, if they stubbornly persist in their sin and they hold to or teach heresy, then they're to be disciplined in terms of a public rebuke and even possibly excommunication.
然而当他们如果坚持在罪中，并且坚持而且教导异端邪说，他们要被管教，而这种管教方式会是公开的责备，甚至是被赶逐出教会。
So now I want to take some time to talk a little bit more about why healthy churches must practice church discipline when it's necessary.
现在我想花一些时间来多说一下为什么健康的教会在必要的时候必须实施教会纪律。
Now, church discipline assumes that there are clearly defined differences between the church and the world. Paul clarifies this by telling the Corinthians that they are to disassociate from those who call themselves Christians and yet whose lives, conform to the patterns of this world.
教会纪律认为教会和世界是有一些明确的差别的。保罗在给哥林多信徒的信中清楚地说道，他们不要与那些声称基督徒却依然效法这个世界的人相交。
Now, he doesn't say that believers are to disassociate from unbelievers whose lives reflect the ways of this world. Unbelievers are expected to behave as unbelievers. I mean, we should expect that an unbeliever will act like an unbeliever. They are citizens of this world.
请大家注意，并不是说信徒不要与按照这个世界方式而活的非信徒停止往来。非信徒不会被期待活得像信徒一样，他们是属于这个世界的。
Now believers, however, we are not citizens of this world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God, of God's holy nation. And the church is a community that is representative of the coming kingdom of God.
然而信徒不应该效法这个邪恶的世界，而是应该是像神圣洁国度的子民一样，教会是教嗯。教会是将要来的神的国度的代表。
So, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of this world are two very different kingdoms. They are ruled by two very different rulers, and they are organized around two very antithetical principles. The kingdom of God operates according to the principle that loving obedience to God is the highest of all goods.And the kingdom of this world operates according to the principle that you must do what is right in your own eyes.
神的国和这个世界的国是非常不同的两个国度，他们有着不同的统治者，然后也反映了两种绝对对立的原则。神的国度运作的原则是出于爱的对神的顺服是对于我们最大的好处，而这个世界国度的运作的法则则是认为我们必须做我们眼中看为对的事情。
Now, church discipline is a corrective action, and it's meant to prevent worldliness from infecting the body of Christ. It's necessary to stop the spread of sin from one member to another.
教会的纪律是一个更正的行为，它是为了防止这个世界进入教会当中，也防止罪在教会当中扩散。
Okay, so...I stated earlier that my hand's functionality is largely dependent upon the functionality of all of my fingers, specifically my thumb. And I just, you know, somewhat jokingly said that I wouldn't be able to eat chopsticks without a healthy thumb. But the truth is that I never actually eat with chopsticks.
我刚才说我的手的功能性极大的取决于我的手指头的功能性，特别是我的大拇指。我刚才也开玩笑说，没有大拇指的话，我没有办法用筷子吃东西。不过我从来不用筷子吃东西。
Now I do, however, write a fair amount. I mean, I spend probably anywhere between 25 and 30 hours a week scribbling notes, with my hand, and so.It would be very detrimental for me as a pastor and my profession if I weren't able to actually handwrite.
但是我常常写东西，每周我大概要花25到30个小时的时间在纸上做笔记。那作为牧师，我如果手指头上，我是没有办法来去有效的来去用我的来去写东西。
Now, what if I were to get an infection?In my thumb. I mean, I need my thumb to hold my pencil, but what if I were to get an infection in my thumb and there was a risk of that infection spreading into the rest of my hand and then possibly even up my arm and then maybe even into my heart? Well, then that would be something that I would need to deal with immediately and possibly even have my thumb removed.
如果我的大拇指被感染的话怎么办？而且这个感染有可能会扩散到我的手、我的胳膊或者甚至我的心脏。在这种情况下，我必须立刻处理这个感染。我甚至有可能要切除我的大拇指。
Now, I certainly wouldn't want to begin with amputation. That would be a last resort. And what I want to make clear is that excommunication of a church member is a absolutely last resort. It is only if all else fails.
我当然不会上来就考虑切断大拇指，那是最后才会考虑的。那同样子的，赶逐被将一个成员赶逐出教会，也是在这个教会管教过程当中最后才会考虑的。
Now, church discipline has to begin much earlier than that, and we'll actually come back to this in a moment, but. For now, I certainly w- I, I'll let you go ahead. Okay.
教会管教要远在这之前就开始，我一会儿会再回到这个话题上。
Point is that sin has no place in the church. Not that it doesn't and that it won't, that sin doesn't and won't continue to exist within the church. I mean, let me be clear that the church is a refuge for sinners. Okay, let me say that again, that the church is a refuge for sinners. But it's not a place where we can come and just remain comfortable in our sin.
然而罪在教会是没有容身之地的。当然这不是说罪不会继续在教会中存在。教会是罪人的避难所，我再强调一遍，教会是罪人的避难所，但是我们不能够来到教会却持续享受在罪中。
So the church is a place of spiritual warfare against sin. Christ has charged his church to war in the power of his spirit against sin. And so church members are obligated to help one another wage war against the sin that is in their lives.
教会是一个与罪进行属灵征战的地方。基督已经给了我们圣灵的能力来去与罪抗争。教会的成员有责任来帮助彼此对付他们自己生命中的罪。
Now, Paul's rebuke against the Corinthians is not simply because they have sin in their church. There is sin in the midst of every church. Paul would tell you that he himself is the chiefest of sinners.
保罗在这里对哥林多信徒的责备不是简单的因为在他们教会中有罪存在。每一个教会都有罪。保罗自己也称他自己是罪人中的罪魁。
Now, his rebuke of the Corinthians is that one of their members is openly and unrepentantly engaging in a gross sexual sin, and they're not doing anything to correct the matter. And this is neither good for the church, nor is it good for the man who is actually caught up in this sin.
他对哥林多信徒的责备是他们教会中的一个信徒公开的并且毫无悔改的犯淫乱的罪。但他们却没有采取任何行动来更正，这对于这个教会和现在这个罪中的人都没有任何好处。
Now sin is detrimental to the health of the church, and it needs to be excised in order to maintain the purity of the church. Sin is a communicable disease with the capacity for spreading, and Paul says that a little leaven will leaven the whole lump.
罪对于教会的健康是有害的，而且需要被切除来维持教会的清洁。罪是可传染的，而且很容易扩散。保罗也说，一点面酵就能使全团面发起来。
So the man that is mentioned here in this passage, he must be removed before his sin spreads to others, and not necessarily the sin of incest per se, but just the worldly principle of church members being able to do whatever is right in their own eyes and yet still identify as Christians.
今天早晨这段经文里面提到的人在他的罪扩散给其他人之前必须从教会中赶出去，因为我们不想让教会里面的人认为一个人他声称为基督徒却可以依然持续在罪中。
And if this man is not disciplined, well then others in the church might begin to look at his sin as if it's no big deal.
如果这个人不被管教，那其他人可能会开始认为，哦，他的罪没什么大不了的。
Now, those of us who are parents, we understand this. So if our oldest son, assuming that you have a son who is maybe nearly of adult age and he's living in your home, and if he were to make a habit of skipping school and getting high and being disrespectful to authority, and he was engaging in all of these behaviors in the presence of his younger siblings, and we as the parents of this child did nothing about it, then we would be harming his younger brothers and sisters by allowing them to think that his behavior is really no big deal.
我们当中做父母的肯定懂，如果你们有一个比较大的儿子，假设他已经到了接近成年的年龄，依然和我们住在一起，如果他常常翘课，然后常常吸烟，常常喝酒，然后吸毒，然后对全民也不尊重，那当他的这些行为被他的弟兄姐妹们看到，而我们做父母的却不对这些事情有任何的处理，那这对于他的弟弟或者妹妹们是非常有害的。
And so hopefully you can see how one member of the family's behaviors and their actions has an effect upon the other members of the family.
教会或者是家庭成员当中一个人的行为对于其他人的行对于其他人是有影响的。
And so I just want to reiterate one more time that church discipline, it only makes sense in the context of where church members think of themselves as brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're a family, the family of God.
教会纪律或者说教会管教讲的合理的唯一的情景就是我们作为教会成员我们是一个大家庭我们对于彼此是要负责任的。
Now, church discipline is also for the benefit of the one who is actually caught up in sin. Because if you think about it, sin, it hinders our fellowship with God, and it hinders our fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ.
教会的管教也是为了那个落在罪中的人的好处，因为罪会阻碍我们与神，我们与其他基督徒之间的团契关系。
Yeah, so in order for fellowship to be restored, sin must be dealt with. Now, actually, the primary goal of church discipline is not punitive, but it's restorative.
为了恢复健康的团契关系，罪必须被处置。实际上，教会纪律的主要目的并不是为了惩罚，而是为了恢复。
It's not loving to let your brother or sister in Christ who is persisting in sin...to allow them to continue to persist in sin and yet think that everything is okay.
让你在主里的弟兄或者姐妹持续在罪里并且认为一切都没事这并不是爱他。
In fact, in the book of Revelation, Jesus warned those churches that, those churches where stubborn sinners were persisting in their sin, that if they were not disciplined by the church, then Jesus was going to discipline them himself.
在圣经启示录里主耶稣就警告那些不管教那些持续犯罪的教会说如果他们不管教的话主耶稣自己将来要来管教。
And this is exactly what Paul wants to avoid. He exhorts the church that, to hand this man over to Satan for the destruction of the flesh so that his spirit may be saved on the day of the Lord.
这正是保罗想要避免的他劝这个教会把这样的人交给撒旦败坏他的身体使他的灵魂在主的日子可以得救。
Now Paul knows that the Lord will judge sin and so he tells the Corinthians to put this man out of the church which is ruled by a good and gracious king and to consider him as a citizen of the kingdom of darkness whose ruler is a very harsh taskmaster.
保罗知道主将来要审判罪，所以他告诉哥林多的信徒要把这个人赶出这个由美善恩慈的王所管理的教会，并且把这个人看为是属于这个幽暗世界国度的。
The hope is that after a time under Satan's rule, that this man will recognize the foolishness of his rebellion, and that he will be reconciled to his good and gracious king and to the king's family.
而这么做是盼望在撒旦管辖下一段时间之后他能够认识到他的悖逆是多么的愚蠢而能够与主耶稣也与主内的弟兄姐妹们和好。
Okay, so we've talked a little bit about, the appropriate context for church discipline. And, we've also talked a little bit about what it is and why we must practice church discipline.There's a lot more that we could say about this topic, but just not everything can be said in one sermon. And so, with the remainder of our time, what I want to do is, I want to share with you how we might actually go about the process of church discipline in a biblical and loving way.
所以我们已经讨论了教会纪律的上下文，我们也稍微提到了什么是教会纪律，我们为什么要实施教会纪律。当然，在这方面有很多我们可以说的，但是在一篇讲道里包括所有也是做不到的。所以在接下来时间里，我想和大家分享我们怎样能够用一个基于圣经并且是出于爱的方式来去实施教会纪律。
Now, I can't give you an exhaustive, procedure or manual, but what I can do is just give you a few requirements that are based on, the text that we read this morning as well as, Matthew 18.
我不可能给你们一本详尽的操作手册，不过根据今天早上的这段经文以及马太福音十八章，我可以跟大家分享一些有必要的，一些必要的条件。
Now, the first implication that we can draw from both Matthew 18, and I don't have time to read that text, so later on, if you want to go back and look at Matthew 18, you'll see where I'm getting some of these suggestions from. But the first implication that we can draw from both Matthew 18 and 1 Corinthians 5 for how to practice church discipline in a biblical and in a loving way is that we do it carefully.
从马太福音十八章和哥伦多前书第五章，今天早上我没有时间在这里读马太福音十八章。如果你们愿意的话，可以回家的时候去读，你们就知道这里面讲的是什么，也知道我是根据什么来去给大家一些建议。根据这两处的经文，我们首先要学习的就是怎样基于圣经，并且用爱的方式来实施教会纪律，那就是要非常谨慎的来去实施。
Now, I've already said that failing to confront a brother or sister in Christ who is persisting in their sin is unloving. In fact, Jesus even says in Matthew 18, he says, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Now, why do you confront him? Because he's your brother. If he were outside of the church, meaning he was not your brother, then you wouldn't be confronting him about his sin.
如果一个弟兄或者姐妹持续在罪中并不悔改，我们却不面对，那么我们对这个弟兄或者姐妹是没有爱心的。主耶稣他在马太福音十八章说，如果你的弟兄犯了罪，要去指出他的过失来。你为什么要指出他的过失呢？因为他是你的弟兄。如果他是教会外的人，不是你的弟兄，你不会指出他的罪来。
Now, likewise, the Apostle Paul says that we are not to judge those outside the church, but we are to judge those who are inside the church. We confront sin in our brothers and sisters in Christ because they are our family members. We have a special relationship with one another. And dare I say it again, that we belong to one another, and therefore we are accountable to one another.
同样的，保罗也说，我们不是审判教外的人，而是教内的人。我们指出主内弟兄姐妹的罪，正是因为他们是我们的家庭成员。我们对教会内的弟兄姐妹有一种特别的关系。请允许我再说一次，我们是属于彼此，我们要在主面前对彼此负责。
So again, to pretend that this person who is caught in sin is living in a manner, of the worthy of the name Christian, when indeed you know that they are not, it's unloving toward Christ, it's unloving toward that person who and your church.
假装这个人活出基督徒当有的样式，而实际上你知道他并没有，这样对于基督、对教会、对这个人都是没有爱心的。
But the reason why I say that we want to practice church discipline carefully because it's equally unloving to confront this person in a hasty or in a haphazard way. The process for church discipline, it must be done in the same way that everything else in the church is done, and that is in a decently and in an orderly manner.
为什么我说实施教会纪律要非常谨慎小心，是因为假如果我们用一种很草率或者随意的方式来去指出这个人的罪的话，同样是没有爱心的。教会纪律应该必须像教会里其他任何事情一样，用一种合宜并且有秩序的方式来实施。
Church discipline is a very sensitive matter. It's a dangerous minefield, and one could easily step on one of those landmines and blow themselves as well as people that they love up with them.
教会纪律是一个很敏感的事情，它是一个雷区，一个人很可能会很容易的踩到一个地雷，然后殃及自己和其他人。
So now, church discipline, it is a biblical requirement, but it's one that many church members and church leaders have very little experience with, and often the few experiences that they have with it is very negative.
教会纪律是根据是出于圣经的要求，不过很多教会成员和领袖却鲜少有这方面的经历，那有的那些有限经历也可能是很负面的。
And that's because church discipline is often handled in a very disorderly, a very vindictive and even unhelpful way, and it's also a practice that lends itself to abuse in the hands of abusive church leaders.
因为通常教会纪律的实施被处理得很混乱，而且会让人怀恨在心，并没有起到任何的帮助，而且教会纪律可能会让人滥用，尤其是遇到会滥用的教会领袖们。
That said, malpractice and abuse does not nullify the command. So there are many prescription medications that are abused, but that does not mean that the prescribed use of those medications is unhelpful.
渎职和滥用并不能够废弃教会纪律这个命令。我们也知道很多的处方药都被滥用，但这并不意味着开处方药是没有帮助的。
And so just as a properly administered medication is helpful to the physical body, so church discipline, whenever it is properly administered, it is good for Christ's spiritual body and for the person who is undergoing discipline.
正如合宜管制下开出的处方药会对身体有益处一样，教会纪律对于教会，甚至对于正在被管教人来说，都是有属灵上的帮助的。
But we want to administer this medication with the we want to do it carefully and with the skill of a good physician. Loving our church and our brother and sister in Christ who is caught in sin means that we seek to avoid error when practicing church discipline.
所以我们在实施教会纪律的时候要非常的谨慎，而且是带着爱心的来去实施。
Now the second implication that is specifically from Matthew 18 and how to go aboutthe practice of church discipline is that we do it progressively. And by progressively, I mean that we do it in the stages that are outlined for us in Matthew 18.
第二点我想说的是教会纪律的实施要循序渐进，这从马太福音第十八章可以看出来。循序渐进的意思是说我们要按照主耶稣在马太福音十八章里所描述的一步一步的来。
Now, the process of church discipline does not begin by dragging an ill-prepared person in front of the church and then demanding that they confess and they repent, otherwise they're going to be excommunicated. That kind of, that's the absolutely wrong way to practice church discipline, and I suspect that if we were to do it in that way, that it would not ultimately lead to repentance and restoration.
教会纪律的实施不是一个上来就把那些行在罪中的人拉到会众面前，让他们公开的承认他们的罪，然后祈求赦免，不然的话他们就要被驱逐出教会。这样做是完全错误的，而且我不认为这样做能够最终带来悔改和修复。
Now Jesus actually lays out a standard operating procedure for church discipline in Matthew 18, and the process begins with a confidential conversation between two church members.
主耶稣在马太福音十八章中为我们描述了一个教会纪律实施的一个操作流程。那首先是在这两个起冲突的教会成员之间有一个私下的对话。
And only if the matter is unresolved does it escalate to the next step, which is to include one or two other church members. And only if this measure fails, then do we bring the matter before the church. So escalation is only on an as-needed basis. If the escalation is not required, then we don't escalate the matter.
只有在这两个起冲突教会成员之间，他们私下里解决，没有办法解决的时候，我们才会进行下一步，我们就会，也就是会加入一到两个其他的成员。如果这样还不行的话，我们才会把这个事情带到全教会面前。所以也就是说，只有在需要的情况下，我们才会进行下一步。如果不需要的话，我们就不会这样子了。
Now the third implication for practicing church discipline is that we do it corporately.So both Jesus and Paul say that the decision is to be rendered by the gathered assembly, that is, the church, whom Jesus confers his authority upon. Jesus says, tell it to the church, and if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector.
第三点就是我们是作为一个教会团体来实施教会纪律或者教会管教。主耶稣和保罗都说过，这个决定是由聚集在一起的教会成员，也就是整体教会整体做出的。教会是主耶稣授予权柄了的。他曾说过，若是不听他们，就告诉教会；若是不听教会，就看他像外邦人和税吏一样。
So it is the church that has the final authority with respect to church discipline. Now, I should just briefly mention that Jesus' apostles, that they were given unique authority over the infant church. And that is why Christ empowered His apostles, such as Peter and Paul, to do the same kinds of miracles that Jesus did in His earthly ministry.
教会的管教是由整个教会来决定的。那我要来简单的来去说一下，我现在需要简单提一下，主耶稣的使徒们在初期教会时期，他们被赋予了很特别的权柄。这就是为什么主耶稣基督赐给他的使徒们，像彼得和保罗一些能力，让他们能够行使很多主耶稣基督在地上所行使过的神迹。
Now, the apostles, their words were also inscripturated, and they ultimately became what we now know as the New Testament. My point is that these men were uniquely responsible for laying the foundation of the church.
因为使徒们在那个教会初期时代，他们有特别的责任，就是奠定教会的基础根基。
But this authority that was initially given to the apostles by Jesus, according to our tradition, at least, has been succeeded to the church. You see, our church isn't under the authority of any living apostle or the Pope, right? So we differ from the Roman Catholic Church that is under the authority of the Pope's apostolic authority. We don't recognize that authority. We recognize the gathered assembly, the whole body, the church itself as being the ultimate authority.
但是这个权柄，至少从我们传统来看，已经由教会来去接管。当今的教会不在任何一位使徒或者是教皇的权柄之下，我们跟天主教不同的，就是我们不像天主教一样，是由一位教皇来去教皇来去管制。掌管教会的权柄已经由我们这些因信仰聚集在一起的成员，也就是教会整体来去负责。
So even your pastors and your deacons, we have no authority over you. Your deacons are elected representatives, people who are elected from within the body to represent you and to take care of the physical needs of the body. And your pastors are men that you have called to shepherd your souls primarily by instructing you in the Word of God, but we don't have any authority over you.
即便是牧师和执事们也没有权柄来去管辖你们，执事是从你们当中被选出来服侍教会的实际需要的，而牧师是被呼召来用神的话语来牧养我们。牧师和执事们没有任何的权柄来去管辖你们。
So again, I want to impress upon you the responsibility of the office of church member.
我是想要让大家知道这个教会的成员是有要负责任的。
Now, the fourth and the last implication that I want to bring forward regarding church discipline is that we are to do it winsomely.
第四点也就是最后一点我想要提到的，就是我们又要用一个修复一个迎回的心态来实施教会纪律。
Now, Jesus tells us that the purpose of confronting our brother's sin is to win or to gain him. And Paul even tells the Corinthians that the purpose for excommunicating their incestuous brother is so that his spirit would be saved.
主耶稣教导我们，我们指出弟兄的罪，目的是要得着他。保罗也告诉哥林多信徒，将一个乱伦的弟兄赶出教会，目的是让他的灵魂得救。
So from the very outset, our purpose must be to lead our brother or sister in Christ to repentance and restoration. If our aim in confronting the sin of a fellow church member isn't to win that person and to spare them God's judgment, then we're not actually practicing church discipline. We're just being a busybody or we're being vindictive.
如果从一开始我们管教的目的是我从一开始我们管教的目的就必须是要让我们主内的弟兄姐妹悔改归回。如果我们指出一个教会成员的罪的目的不是为了赢回他，使他免受神的审判，那我们并不是在实施教会纪律，我们就只是一个很繁忙的一个教会的身体，而且会导致让人怀恨在心。
And this might be the most important thing that I'm going to say today, and that is that the way to win our brother or sister in Christ who is caught in sin is not with more law. Okay, it's with more gospel. It's with more Jesus who comes to sinners clothed in the garments of his gospel.
我们在赢得一个罪中人的方式，并不是给他更多的律法，而是给他更多的福音，更多的宣扬那位穿戴福音来到罪人当中的主耶稣基督。
So the law tells a person that, hey, you better get it together or else. And you know what? That's true to some extent. I mean, people cannot continue to break God's law with impunity. But if we come to someone who is caught in sin, and the only thing that we have to say is, hey, you better get it together or else, it's not going to cause that person, it's not going to lead them to repentance. It's just going to cause them to feel dejected and hopeless.
律法要求我们说你最好乖乖地遵守全律法。 没错，在一定程度上，我们是要遵守律法。如果我们不可能说是不遵守神的律法，却依然能够逍遥法外，不付上任何代价。但是如果一个人现在最终，我们就只是让他来去把这个律法完全遵守完的话，我们并不会，我们这只会让这个人感到沮丧和绝望。Yeah,
the gospel says don't worry about trying to get it all together. Just embrace Jesus and his gospel. Embrace Jesus and his forgiveness.
但是福音告诉我们说是你不用担心你自己能够守住所有的律法，我们所需要做的就是相信主耶稣，接受他的饶恕。No
soul will ever be spared of God's judgment because that person repented and then began to follow God's law more fully. No, the one who is spared is the one who embraces Jesus, who is our salvation and who is our righteousness before God.
人只要悔改，并且更多的顺服神，他的灵魂就不会被撇弃。So
the world disciplines sinners by increasing their burdens. But believers point people to Jesus who says, come to me, all of you who are weary and who are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
但是信徒，我们是把人带到主耶稣基督面前。主说：“凡劳苦担重担的人，可以到我这里来，我就使你们得安息。我心里柔和谦卑，你们当负我的轭，学我的样式，这样你们心里就必得享安息。因为我的轭是容易的，我的担子是轻省的。”Let's
pray.
我们来祷告。
Father, we revere your holy name.
天父，我们敬畏你的圣洁的名。
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty.
主啊，你是圣洁的。
And we confess that you have called your church to represent your holiness in the earth, that you have commanded us to distinguish ourselves from the world by separating ourselves from sin.
主啊，你让我们与这个世界区别出来，与这个世界的罪区别出来。
And we want to obey the command to be holy as you are holy. Nothing short of faithful obedience is worthy of your great gift of salvation.
我们想要圣洁，因为你是圣洁的。
But God, we also confess that we are a morally weak people who live in a world that is filled with sin.
主啊，我们也承认我们是非常软弱的人，我们活在一个充斥着罪的世界当中。
And it often happens that your children are ensnared by the enemy's traps and find themselves caught in sin.
然后你的子民们，我们作为你的孩子们，我们也是常常发现我们陷在罪中，我们被这个世界所陷住。
And Lord, we ask that when this happens, that you would give us, their brothers and sisters in Christ, the courage and the wisdom to confront their sin in a way that leads to reconciliation.
主啊，我们祈求你，当遇到这种情况的时候，求主你给我们弟兄姐妹们有勇气，也有智慧的来去把现在最终的肢体们挽回回来。Oh
God, may we by your sovereign grace be a church that is always consistently pointing people to Jesus, in whom there is forgiveness and the promise of restoration.
主啊，也是求主你给我们你那神圣的恩典，让我们能够带领弟兄们，能够把弟兄姐妹们带到你的面前，能够归回，能够得到饶，能够接受从你而来的饶恕。
Amen.
Amen.